That the Jesus falls the third time. Fell down. But it looks like it's not broken. Okay, very good. That heavy rain must have been the last straw, knocked it down. Okay, well, here we are Monday morning, and we have this gospel passage where Jesus heals the withered hand of a man in the synagogue on the Sabbath. But we can see right away, there's much more going on here than simply the healing, the Jesus' merciful healing of a man who's afflicted. There's also the tension between Jesus and the Pharisees. In fact, Jesus deliberately places this healing right in the face of the Pharisees. So I think what we can see on display here is not only Jesus' divine healing power and mercy, but we can also see him exposing the difference between living according to the flesh and living according to the Spirit. The narrowness, the limitations that come with living according to the flesh and the freedom that comes from living according to the Spirit. The reason why I say this is because he's in the process of curing the man who's got a withered hand, but at the same time he shows, or the gospel passage shows, what is withered in the Pharisees themselves, that is their own spiritual life. At the end of the gospel, the man is perfectly restored, his hand is perfectly healed, but they, meaning the Pharisees, become enraged and discuss what they might do to Jesus. So they're enraged. It's a very strong word. They're not just upset or distracted. They are furious at Jesus, which is a very strange reaction at seeing a miracle. The normal reaction is, wow, what a great thing happened here. What, this man is healed. Praise the Lord. That would be a normal reaction. So the Pharisees, whose spiritual life is not normal, it's distorted by their jealousy and their self-righteousness, they can't have a normal reaction. They have an abnormal reaction, which is to be enraged at Jesus doing a good deed on the Sabbath. Now, Jesus does this very deliberately. He asks them, before he does it, he asks them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil? The obvious answer is, well, yes, it's lawful. You can do good on the Sabbath. That's what the Sabbath is for. It's a good day to do good. But in their minds, it's a day not to work, and healing is work. Therefore, Jesus is violating the Sabbath, and they're enraged. The more they get stuck in this way of thinking, the narrower they get, the more limited they get. And that's the way it is with, I say, the life of the flesh. Sometimes people think of the life of the flesh as a sensuality. Well, yes, but this is also the tendency of the flesh to narrow down, to become rigid, to be caught in our own perspective only. And it completely distorts our perspective, and it prevents us from the freedom that comes, that God has in mind for his children, the freedom of the children of God. In contrast to this strange reaction of the Pharisees, I'd like to point out St. Paul, who speaks in today's first reading in his letter to the Colossians. Notice what he says at the very beginning of the reading: I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. I rejoice in my sufferings. That is not the way people who are caught in their flesh talk, because the flesh always resists suffering and complains about it. It's impossible to rejoice in your sufferings if you're living according to the flesh. It's a contradiction. And that's why it sounds strange to us to hear someone say, I rejoice in my sufferings. Because we say, well, How can that be? Isn't that an inherent contradiction? And it's not, because he's not living according to the flesh, he's living in the Spirit, he's living by faith. He can recognize the extraordinary value of the sufferings he's going through, and because, now he doesn't like suffering, nobody does, otherwise it wouldn't be suffering, but he can recognize the value of it, and that's the reason why he can rejoice. Actually, this verse, this is Colossians 1:24, this one verse has generated volumes and volumes of theological and scripture commentaries, because it puts together two things. One, this idea of rejoicing in suffering, which is a shocker to us. And then the other thing, in this same verse, he says, in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. And that's another shocker. What's lacking in the afflictions of Christ? Well, nothing. Jesus on the cross has completed the whole work of our salvation. There's nothing lacking. There's nothing missing. He didn't leave anything unfinished. So that's why it sounds theologically questionable. But the point that Paul is making is that what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ is not anything Christ didn't do, but our participation in it. So what Paul is saying is, I'm rejoicing to be able to participate in the saving work of Jesus Christ. Jesus saves us. All salvation is based on him. But we have to say yes to it. And when we do, we're set free from these restrictions of the life of the flesh, and we can soar into the greatest freedom. Freedom even in the face of suffering and threats of death. So this is what Paul is saying. I rejoice that I can have a part in this. I rejoice that I can participate in God's saving work. God has given me this precious opportunity to be a minister of the gospel. And I'm so happy to be able to do it. Not only do I benefit, but so does everybody else. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. This is benefiting you. In my flesh, now I talk about the life of the flesh, he is suffering. He's living with contradictions and persecution and all physical and emotional suffering. In my flesh, I'm filling up what's lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church. So I suffer and the church benefits, which is exactly what Jesus does on the cross. He suffers and the human family benefits, actually all of creation benefits. But it's that insertion of divine power into the contradiction of suffering that has changed everything. So that suffering can actually be fruitful, it can be redemptive. And that's what Paul is rejoicing about, to participate in it and to make it known. And I'm given this opportunity to share with you the mystery hidden from ages and generations past. This mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery is that there's more to life than suffering or what we experience in our flesh. There is Christ in us, our hope of glory. There's Christ at work in the midst of these contradictions. Then Paul goes on to say, this is why I labor and I struggle and I continue my suffering for you, because it's so fruitful. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful to have a part in the revelation and the unfolding of this mystery. So set before your thoughts, on one side, the Pharisees, and on the other side, Paul. And see which one is more appealing. Life of the flesh, life in the Spirit. The Pharisees, Paul. The Pharisees, they're upset at something good. They feel like they're losing control. They're overcome with rage and jealousy and judgment. And they're withering up before our very eyes. Paul is soaring into the heights of the spiritual life with great rejoicing, with great freedom, with gratitude that he can be part of the of the great mission of redemption. Well, which one do you want to be? A Pharisee or a St. Paul? The option is before us. Well, we rejoice too, to be able to be recipients of grace, but also to be participants in the work of salvation.